Turn to Luke chapter 19. Now the chapter that I had mainly to preach on was Matthew 23. Anybody ever hear anything from Matthew 23? That's just what Joe preached on. And a lot of times I've preached on the woes, Matthew 23, but before I get there, I was just going to cover a few bases. And actually, in the Strong's Concordance, the woes in Matthew 25, Joe, say, how do they say it? Primarily an exclamation of grief. You know, I always preach the woes kind of hard, like Christ just yelling at everybody. But in that definition I read today in the Strong's, it's actually an exclamation of grief. You know, that he's like warning the Pharisees, grieving for them. So that kind of changed my perspective on the message a little bit. So hopefully the Spirit will fill me to know the grief of Christ, you know, to be conformed to that side of it. Paul says, always rejoicing, yet always sorrowful. You know, he says, I wish myself could be accursed, cast out, you know, that they can know Jesus and I could go to hell, that my kinsmen, the Jewish people after the flesh, could know Christ. So that's kind of a hard point to get to that grief side, but God's able to work it in us. So that's how I'm going to kind of do this message tonight. So Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Nicodemus. No, that was Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Now, remember, it's like Nicodemus is the chief among the Pharisees. He's the chief of the publicans. That means the tax collectors, and he's collecting a lot more money than he was supposed to, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not, for the press, so many people, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. He saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, he came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. Remember, we learned about murmuring today. Mark was preaching against murmuring. And they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Now, I'm going to talk about being lost. How do we know we're lost? And, you know, sometimes I'm evangelism, and people say, oh, I'm saved. And I say, well, great. Give me your testimony how you knew you were lost. Oh, no, I mean saved. I says, yeah, I know, but how did you know you were lost? Because if you're saved, you had to be lost. You know, so you've got to know you're lost before you're found. So sometimes if I'm in a big store or something, me and Linda are shopping, I'll go to the lost and found department, you know, and say, hey, I once was lost, but who can find me in here, you know? And then I tell them about Christ, how he finds sinners. That's what he came to do. So lost and found. Okay, so to be lost. Okay, so let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6, Old Testament. Right after Psalms, Isaiah chapter 6. Remember, Israel's sliding, Judah and Israel are sliding away from, two kingdoms are divided, and they're sliding away from the Lord. They're going away from them. Like Mark Sermon said today, they were in apostasy, going away from the Lord and just everything in the world and for the world. And Isaiah is prophesying. And before I go to 6, let's go to a few woes in Isaiah chapter 3. Now this is the people there. Isaiah 3, look in verse 9. Isaiah 3:9 says, The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom and hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Woe unto their soul. In Psalm 146 it says, and no man cares for my soul. You care for the souls of men? You care for the perishing? You care for the lost? If we have Christ, we'll care for him. Because I was lost, and he found me. Do we care for the souls of men? Oh, that the Lord would give us his care for the souls of men. Okay? And so they would. It's like the sin of Sodom. And they hide it not. Woe unto their soul. So we're going to continue. The first part was woes, and we're still in the woes. You know, look at verse 11, same chapter. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Okay, that's chapter 3. And this is all the judgments coming on Israel before the Babylonian captivity. And Isaiah is getting the word from God, the Holy Spirit, and he's telling them, woe unto you, woe unto you. And chapter 5. Okay, we got a few woes here too. Look at verse 8, chapter 5. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Well, what's wrong with having cities and house to house? The Bible says, woe unto them. Why? That becomes your refuge. That becomes your strength instead of God. It's what you've accumulated. Look at verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Oh, may God deliver us from any alcoholic spirits tonight. In this room, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Christ can do it. He has all power and all authority. Thank you, Lord. So, there's the second woe. Okay, and I'm kind of going out a little sequence in these woes here. Chapter 5, okay. Look at verse 11. Okay, I got it now. Verse 11. Okay, we already read that. Look at verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Look at verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them. Verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men to strength to mingle strong drink. Woe unto them. So he's got the woes to the people of Israel who have fallen back, who are going away from the Lord, and they're just going into all these outward sins, and woe unto them. And now we get to chapter 6. Now here's Isaiah the prophet. I'm sure he's in church. He's separate from all these things. And what's he see in Isaiah chapter 6? Look at 6. Verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he did fly. And one cried out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which had taken with the tongs off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and says, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And he says, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land utterly desolate. And the Lord, having removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of all. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and they shall be eaten as a field tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so their holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Okay, just to go to this, Joe did kind of a lot of 23, so maybe I don't have to go there. And time-wise, we're going a little short, but the Lord be in control. Okay, I just want to comment on 6. Okay, look at verse 1. The king Uzziah died. So, he had a king. And now, he isn't looking to the earthly king. I mean, we have people and we have kings in front of us. Men, people, mothers, fathers, our own life. And we're like kings and queens. And the Lord has to bring us to the end of that. And we see that king. We're still reigning on the throne. We're still in charge. We're still in control. And it's not King Jesus Christ. When it says he's a savior, what that means is he's the prophet, he's the priest, and he's the king. As the prophet, he gives the instructions. No man ever spake like this man. As the priest, he died and paid for every sin. And he's exalted, making intercession for us. And as a king, he's the king now. I'm not longer the king. So there's Isaiah and, you know, this King Uzziah. Isaiah was part of his household, it seems. He was raised there. And King Uzziah was a king for 50 years. And he's probably looking at King Uzziah's running everything. No, God runs everything. God's in control. But Uzziah had to die. And then what's Isaiah going to see? He's going to see the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And his train will fill the temple. And then he sees the seraphim, the angel, with 6 wings, and they covered. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Now it seems at this time with the wars and everything going on, it's like the whole earth is filled with sin. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. It's God's glory that fills the earth. We was reading that other scripture on the countenance of men. Sometimes I'll be driving in traffic, and if I'm just watching people coming home for work, and I could look at 100 cars, and you know how many countenances I see that are lifted up? Hardly ever one, ever. Why? They're alone with themselves. They're not with the Lord. They're with themselves. It's still all about them. And they're still the king and queen. It's got to be Christ. He's got to be the king. So I always pray when I see, you know, that countenance in the mirror is fallen. I say, Lord, lift up my countenance. Cause your face to shine upon me. You know, and I don't even know it. Then I'm out in the world. Somebody says, are you always happy? I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. I can't see my own face. I'm thinking of maybe something that I'm murmuring about inside. But he's saying, well, outside, you look like you're joyous. You look like a guy like that when we do the nursing home. He goes, geez, and I'm not even aware of it. I'm just praying, Lord, lift up my countenance. Well, let me just walk around the world like it's all defeated. I got King Jesus is on my side. I'm on his side. When Joshua was fighting Jericho, the king appeared to him, and he says, Joshua pulled the sword out and says, whose side are you on? He says, Joshua, I'm the king of the captain of the host of Israel. In other words, Jesus Christ is coming appearing to Joshua before Jericho and saying, you know, Joshua, I fight the battle. Joshua fell down on his face. Why? Now he's seen the King Christ. He wasn't looking to Joshua. He was in dismay. How's he going to conquer Jericho? Look at those walls. Then he got instructions. Just march 7 days. I'll take those walls down. With the Lord, all things are possible. God's able. Christ is the King. Okay, so, but he came to save the lost. Now remember, we see all the woes in chapter 3, in chapter 5, and I'm sure Isaiah is saying, you guys are getting it. You deserve it. Look at how you're living. And what's Isaiah?
He's a religious sinner. Who are these prophets? They're sinners. Who is Paul? The chief sinner. Who is Peter? Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. Who are these guys? They're only sinners saved by grace. You know, who's the great man? There's only one great one, and he's the great king, Christ. The rest of them are grace men. You think when we get to heaven, if you're one of his, they're going to be proclaiming the great works they did? I'm sure Paul would be saying, unto you, Lord, be all the glory. Well, let me give you these crowns, Paul, for your glory, Lord. Put it on my head. It's the Lord that works, not man. Man boasts in his works, but we boast in his Lord. Anyway, he came to seek and save the lost. All right, so we got the angels. We got them crying, holy, holy, holy. The Lord of hosts is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Okay, now, as the Lord has me do the work of an evangelist, maybe a little instruction for you or a little conviction. I was walking in a little store up the street, McDade. I was shopping a little bit, so I went into Goodwill because I'm always preaching Goodwill in there. Where do you find Goodwill in this world, you know? They all look at me like, yeah, where is it? I said, it's in Christ. What did the angel say in his appearing? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And he looked at me like, that's what he said, huh? Yeah, Christ has goodwill. Men don't have it. He has it. So this guy's, he's right behind me, and he's opening the door for people. I'm about 10 steps there, and I'm kind of praying and communing with Christ, like, Lord, use me here. The guy opens the door for me. I says, hey, thanks. Do you know Christ is the door to heaven? And for about 10 minutes inside, his name was Kevin, I spoke to him about Christ being the door. And he says, man, I ain't never heard nothing like this. Thanks. I'm a Roman Catholic, you know. I said, it's all right. Christ is greater than that, you know. He died for all that. He paid for all that on the cross. He is the door, not our duties, our religion. It's Christ. And then he thanked me, took a track, says, don't be surprised. You see me at the church sometime, you know. So, but there again, so next time maybe you're walking through a door and somebody's holding it, I hope the Holy Spirit says, tell them that Christ is the door. You know, it's like, oh, man, Lord, I can't do this, you know. So I walked into Walmart today up there shopping, and this is just instructions for talking to people. And so anybody that says to me, how you doing, first I say, thank you, Lord, open door. Now I'll talk to him about Christ. And almost everyone talks. So this veteran is there, and I'm like, I'm walking about three-quarters of the way over there. I don't want to talk to him. I'm busy thinking of when I'm going to get there. And he looks over at me and says, hey, how you doing? And I was like, okay, and I walk in the store, and immediately I repent, because the Lord was preparing me, and I said no, and I says, Lord, okay, Christ, you know, you got to do this. I'm praying, didn't find out in the store, so I walked out, and he says, hey, how you doing again? I says, oh, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity. So I talked to him for about 15 minutes, and he says, man, you're right, men are corrupt, men are evil. And I says, well, how about this man and you, that man? And he says, no. And I'm sure Isaiah was the same way. Woe unto you guys. Look at your make and drink. Woe unto you guys. Woe unto you guys. And the whole city's murmuring because Christ is talking to the chief sinner, Zacchaeus, who rips everybody off. They're murmuring. Why him? How about us good guys? Isaiah's doing the same thing. And what's the Lord have to do? He appears to Isaiah. And he's holy. Now he's showing him the holiness of the Lord. How's Isaiah going to stand up? Verse 5. I'm in Isaiah 6, 5. And now he says, woe is me. Woe is me. He sees himself, and now he's complaining, like with a compassionate complaint. Woe is me. Now, when I was at the end of the law, the end of my striving, and the end of my trying to do good to get to heaven, I'm saying, I'm done. I'm lost. Woe is me. Now, up until then, no, woe are those guys doing that sins. Woe are those guys. I never did that. I never got drunk. I never did a drug. I never did a woman. Woe unto you guys. But now, Christ is saying, you religious sinner, Bob, woe unto you. And I'm saying to myself, woe is me. And it says in verse 5, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Not that I say wrong things, not that I say I do
these things? No, I am. I am a man of unclean lips. One of the woes right before in Matthew 23, Jesus says, you Pharisees and you hypocrites, you do it all to be seen of men. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing the glory of Jesus Christ, and guess what's happening to the glory of Bob? It's fading like a leaf. The glory of man fades like a leaf. And thank God he showed me in this life, because on that judgment day, I would have been boasting and bragging of myself. But now, I am. Not that I do, I am. My very nature is sin. Why? It's consumed on self, and mostly me, religious self. Always trying to do good, always looking good outwardly, but full of dead man bones, just like Joe was saying, that cup, shining the cup up, but inside, full of filthy rags. All my righteousness, filthy rags, and there's nothing I can do. No, Bob, now I can't do it. I know why. I am undone. And my lips have talked about me and others self-righteously my whole life. I'm glad I am not like them. I'm glad I never did that. I'm glad I am not running with that crowd. I'm glad I am not like those politicians. You know, and now, in the glory of Christ, I am undone. My lips, unclean my whole life. Why? Talking about self. Thinking of my righteousness, just like the Pharisees and the hypocrites. It's like Joe says, woe unto you. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? If you haven't seen it, then in your heart, you still think you're good. And not only that, he says, I am undone and a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, when God did give me his righteousness and did give me the Spirit, my old friends are like, why ain't you judging nobody? I says, because I'm no better. I am undone. I am filthy. I am unclean without Christ. So are you. So, and he says, now he dwells in the whole midst of unclean people. Now, I was talking to a guy this week in Pittsburgh, and he says, you're not telling me, you're saying everybody's like this? I says, it says, we're all born into sin, conceived in iniquity. It says, every man has turned to his own way. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Everyone. It says, there's none who does good. There's none who righteous. No, not one. I'm not saying this. The Holy Scripture says it. But my question, we could agree with the Scriptures, but has your eyes, have you seen it? So, now, it's like, when I was so filthy, Christ would save me, polluted with sin and abominations and every abominable thing inside, and he saves me. He purges my iniquity. He takes it away. And then verse 6, then flew one of the serpents, having a live coal in his hand, and he's taken it from the tongs off the altar. He lays it upon my mouth and says, lo, this has touched thy lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins are purged. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He has saved me. He has taken my sin, my iniquity, my very nature, that's what iniquity is, and my sins, he's taken it all. His blood has cleansed me from all sin. Now he's my God and Savior. Now what, Lord? My sin is taken away, my iniquity purged, and I heard the voice, in not an audible voice, but one of my favorite scriptures, John 15:16. He says, look it, you haven't chosen me, Bob, I've chosen you. I have turned you. I have put my faith in you. I have done it. Lord, send me. Send me. Who's going to go? Who's going to go to your family? Who's going to go to the kids at school? Come on, we're there every day. How many witnesses for Christ do you hear? Who's going to go? And guess what? My sin's been purged. My iniquity's paid for. So, the Lord says, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you, I've ordained you, and I'm going to send you. And now my heart says, and I heard that voice out of the Scriptures. Now Linda and I, my wife, were just talking, we were watching a Christian movie, and at the end where Christ is dying on the cross, somebody's viewing the scene, and they just went through life trying to overcome so-called evil with their own goodness, but they couldn't overcome it. They finally killed one guy, in a fair fight, so-called. And then he says, that's it. We're going to start fighting them and killing them. Why? He didn't have the king. And now he goes to view the cross. It's a great scene. Christ says, Father, forgive them. Then they don't know what to do. Next scene you see, he's coming back home. And he says, you're getting your sword? He says, no. When Christ spoke those words, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He says, it took the sword right out of my hand. His words took the sword right out of my hand. So when he says in the cross, Father, forgive them. When it says the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin, has God taken that word home to your heart where you know Christ has done it for me? It's a sure word in the heart. Why? This is His word. All the promises in Christ are yes and amen. So how do we hear His voice? Through His word, His promises. We become promised children. It's a work of God. And now what? So then said, here I am, send me. Lord, send me to my family. Send me to my children. Let me teach them the scriptures, Lord. Let me talk to them about you, Christ. Oh, let me brag and boast of their great dad. Other than he's just a great sinner. And Christ shed great drops of blood for me. Christ died for me. But dad, is it real? You guys can tell. I'm not the king anymore. Christ is the king. I'm not the suppressing, demanding, religious hypocrite that I was. I'm a new man in Christ. And Lord, send me. And he says, go and tell this people. Hear you indeed, but understand not. See you indeed, but perceive not. Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitation, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That's all of us. We all got to come there in our own righteousness, be at the end of it. And the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return. And they shall be eaten, and as a thiel tree, and as the oak, those substances in them. And they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So Christ is the vine, we're the branches. If he has put that holy seed of his word, that word is able to make us wise unto eternal life. The word that borns us again, his promises, Christ himself. And then what do? Send me, Lord. Go and tell the people. So, hallelujah to the king. Hallelujah. You guys are still going here. Probably if you weren't going anymore, I probably wouldn't even come. And thank the Lord, you can even walk on the street and go. Downtown and one side of Philly and another side of Philly. Go. Why? I know I'm an unclean man that dwells in the midst of an unclean thing. So when I'm up on the Capitol, Washington, D.C., I'm preaching the same things I'm preaching in the streets of Philly. You must be born again. You're born wrong. All of us are. You need Christ. I need Christ, but Christ got me now. He drew me with cords of loving kindness. He loved me with this love before the world was. He called me out of darkness. He put a new heart. He brought me to the end. Christ is my all in all. He has saved me. And only He can. Church can't do it. You can't do it. Your works can't do it. Christ has done it all.